and I'm glad to be back with you today. And it's a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. You know, we should always celebrate God's love for us, shouldn't we? I mean, it shouldn't just be a season. It should be an everyday thing for those who know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about love. How many of you know what the golden rule is? Anybody? Just go ahead and raise your hand. You know what the golden rule is? Number one, let the pastor have the first piece of chicken. Number two, make sure he gets the wing next. Golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto yourself. How many of you told your children that as they were growing? Were told that as a child while you were growing? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Do you know God is the one who gives us that lesson and teaches us that lesson from the very beginning? And so this morning I just want to ask that you turn with me to Matthew. And it may seem strange that I'm going to speak to you from this verse, but today I'm going to be speaking from Matthew chapter 22, and I'll be reading verse 37 and 38. If you would, please stand with me in honor of God's word this morning. Matthew 22, beginning in verse 37. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment." Father, I thank you again for this day and for so great a love and mercy that you give to us every day. Lord, you give us hope. You give us life renewed. Even in times of trouble, we don't lose hope because we know there's already victory in you. And Father, I pray that all of us know that joy and that victory, and that all of us celebrate that every day. Lord, strengthen us where we are weak and help us in our testimony before the world so that they can see and hear you in us. Lord, we ask it only to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated, please. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And we see here in this verse that when Jesus was challenged about commandments, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus, of course, gave us the one that we already know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He also would later say that the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so we know that there is a balance between who we are in our relationship with God and with our neighbor that is on the same balance beam called love. It's measured in our love for God and for our neighbor. And nowhere does God tell us what we should expect in return. Sometimes we forget that, especially in Christmas, right? What am I getting this year? How many of you miss those old Sears and Roebuck catalogs? Man, I used to love sitting down looking at those things. But you know, I do now as an adult enjoy knowing and experiencing God's love more than anything. It's expressed to us in so many ways. It's expressed to us in not what we have in life, but who we're with in life even, and who we are in life as it comes through us. God is with us, and we have his love in us, and he tells us here, this one thing, it begins right here, that we should love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. And this is every day. It's not just a seasonal thing. It's every day of our life. And I would like to remind you of this, because I know some people will say, well, you know, sometimes God doesn't love me, but that's wrong. And God will never ask of you anything that he isn't willing to give first himself. And that's a thought we ought to keep with us every day as well. When we start getting into that mood, in that mode where God doesn't love me and he's not taking care of me, and what am I dealing with this for, and why, oh, why me? Remember this, God never asks of you anything that he's not willing to pay himself first. First. God loved us first before we could ever love him. And there's such a wonderful illustration throughout all of Scripture that teaches us this golden rule that God loves us and has always loved us. In fact, I would say there are some aspects of love that we should never forget and that we should see in Scripture. And the first one is this, that love will never yield to cost. I mean, wouldn't it be something if we all just quit loving because of how much cost was involved with it? God never does that. He never stops loving us because there's a cost involved, that there is something required of him to have relationship with us, the same as it is required of us to have relationship with him. He loves us. We should love him. And the balance brings us together, and we can walk in peace and joy. But remember how this begins, this illustration that love never yields to cost. Remember in the Garden of Eden, do you remember that? God said, don't do this or you will surely die. You know, if I heard that, I would think, okay. Because I knew what death was, and I know what it means to other people and how it impacts life. But you know, Adam and Eve, what did they know about death? Did they ever see a sparrow fall from a tree? Did they ever bury their parents or grandparents? They would soon bury a child because of the cost of sin. But God said to them, if you do this particular thing in the garden, surely you will die. You see, God, he always has some kind of restriction on us, doesn't he? Don't do this, don't do that. Let me tell you, God's not trying to restrict us in who we are, how we live. He's trying to prevent us the consequences of things that are harmful. God didn't want Adam and Eve to die, and he told them, if you do this, you will die. But having no experience with it, they decided it was okay, we'll do it anyway. They both ended up breaking God's rule, and the consequence came. Death had to come, but it wasn't Adam and Eve or Eve. It was an innocent lamb. And this is where God begins to show us that love never yields to cost. He begins teaching us that something innocent can pay the penalty for our sins. But it costs the blood of a lamb. And God clothed them. And he showed them how to live in a world, a new world that they were about to face. Hardships, dangers. He showed them what it took to be properly clothed for the environment that they were now in. And it took the life of an innocent lamb. Death had to come. And the ones that deserved it walked away free of charge. Love never yields to cost. The cost has to be paid. Isn't it amazing that something innocent can pay that cost for us? There's a second garden where we learn that love never yields in the face of trouble. And that's in the Garden of Gethsemane. After Jesus had had his ministry and his final meal with his disciples, where he even spoke to them, and to one specifically, he said, "One of you will betray me, and then go and do what you're going to do." And they had their meal and they left and they went into the Garden of Eden, and Jesus, under the weight of what was coming, fell on his knees and prayed, "Father, take this cup from me, but not my will, your will be done." Jesus begins to teach us that even God himself will not yield because of the cost of loving his creation or because of the trouble that comes with loving his creation. The trouble that Jesus was about to face, the mockery of a trial, the beating, the scourging, death on a cross, because something innocent had to pay the price for our sins. Isn't it amazing how, when we stop and think about it, this illustration of God doing unto others as he would have them do unto him, and how far he's willing to go and to give of himself, even of his son, so that we can have new life and have hope and have peace and have joy and celebrate it in this season, as if the cost isn't always there, but 1 month out of the year. My friends, I don't want you to forget why it is we celebrate this time of the season. It is because Jesus came. It is because he came to show the love of the Father for us all, each and every one. He doesn't distinguish one from another because of their sins. He brings us all together because of our sins. And says to us, if you will just believe on me, if you will just believe on me, then I will pay the cost for you to have life everlasting. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. As God has never given up on us, he's never given up on thinking about us, he's never given up on caring about us, he's never given up on sacrificing for us. And why is it so hard for his creation to love him back? Why is it so hard for us to discount whatever cost might be involved in loving our neighbor, or whatever trouble might be that comes in paying the cost? Because we began to think of love as a burden. But love is never a burden when it's strengthened in purpose. You understand what I'm saying? Whenever we do things to help our neighbors or to honor God, if we are doing it only because it's a job to do, then yes, it will become a burden. And you will just get worn slap out until you can't do any more. But when you are empowered with love for those you are helping, as God has loved you, your strength does not give way. You don't lose hope, and you don't give up, because you know what love is. And love doesn't give up. Love doesn't cast away. Love doesn't forget. Love endures and will always take the next step. Because God does it with us and for us, so shouldn't we also do it for our neighbors, for our families, for each other? Because love never yields to cost. It never yields in the face of trouble. And it never misses opportunity. How many of you in here can say, Lord, I know I have a time in my life when you were telling me to love someone in whatever particular way it was to show his glory. And you said to yourself, I don't have time. Somebody else will get it today. Somebody else will get it. Oh, that hurts, doesn't it? I, to my shame, have had that moment a time or two. And there's nothing worse than going back after you pass by and the weight of what you are doing is upon you, and you try to go back and meet that need, and the opportunity is gone. It's gone. And so you just take your next step moving forward, asking yourself, why didn't I just do what he asked me to do the first time? Right when he said it. When I knew God was talking to me, why didn't I just listen? Why didn't I just answer? Why didn't I just act? Because that person may have needed that moment. They may have been waiting for that moment. And I walked right on by. It hurts. And it's a lesson that we never forget. But God is asking us to do unto others as we would have them do unto us. As he has lived for us, so we should live for him. And that means loving each other and our neighbors, our families. It means doing what needs to be done without considering the cost or the trouble, just taking the opportunity when it is there, because you want to honor God. Because when you are loving God the way God is loving you, you're always finding a chance to honor him and to portray him to others. Because don't we just love to show the world who God is? We should. In song, in words, in deeds. We should just want to honor God every day. Have those lights just blinking, those ornaments just hanging so everyone can see every day. The story of God's love written all over you and just flowing out for others to read. We should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our being, with every moment, with every opportunity, no matter what the cost, and no matter what others might think. You know, it's an amazing thing how some of us find reasons why we can't honor God because of how others might feel if we show it. God said, I came, Jesus said, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And when you consider the truth of those words and how even families are divided over who he is and what he does for us, you begin to understand there is a cost.
There is trouble, but we never yield to it. If the world doesn't want to hear me say I love Jesus, they're going to have to find another way to shut me up. Because the world is going to hear that I love Jesus. Why? Because he loved me first. He knew who I was. And he said, Joel, we got something to work on. We need to talk before we start working, though. We got a few things to get straight. And he never stops. He never yields. And he never sees a price too high to pay. So that I can have this wonderful relationship with him. And with you, if I just will take the step. If I will just take the step. It never passes on opportunity. That's why we have this wonderful verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Because God does not pass on an opportunity to love. I could say creation, but I want to say it like this. Each and every one of you. Individually. Well, it's easy to say his creation. But that kind of shuffles somebody into the back of the crowd, doesn't it? And that's where not a one of us are in the sight of God. He sees us all. He loves us all. And he continues every day loving us all. So much so that he gave his Son that we could have peace with him. Peace with him. Not the world, but with him. And so Paul says this in Ephesians. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved and given himself for us. So when I see this verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's not just a rule. It's a calling. It's a willing on our part to see the love that God has lived for us and to respond in kind to him. We see it through Adam and Eve. We see it in the Garden of Gethsemane. We see it on the cross. We hear it in our souls as the Spirit speaks to us. But how many will walk away and leave the calling unanswered? Walk away and say, I'm happy it's Christmas. God's a good guy, right? God's good. He is. And all the time. But that should be something we live, not just something we say. And knowing the true love and the depth of love and the price that he has paid to show his love. How many of us will raise our hands and say, I will love him back just as he has loved me? It's a calling. It's a calling to be different. It's a calling to be changed. It's a calling that people will see and notice. It's a calling unto life in Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm asking you today, why have you not found that peace in Christ that he's offering you? Why? Is there something you can do to make yourself worthy? No. Is there something you can fix before you come to God? No. If any one of those things were true, we wouldn't need Christ. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves worthy or to make ourselves presentable before God in a way that He accepts us for who we are, except through the atoning work of His Son, Jesus Christ. And so I'm asking you today, one more time, why would you walk away from His calling? If He's calling you today, I plead with you to come and to find the peace He so freely gives and the life that follows with it, a life of joy and of hope, and a life that doesn't yield because victory is already known in Christ. Would you come while there's time? Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You for so great a love again that You have given to us, and for the life and the hope and the joy that we have in You. And I pray, Father, that You will strengthen us to be Your witness in a world that is filled with darkness. Help us, I pray, to honor You as You have honored us. We ask it to Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?